రామాయ రామభద్రాయ రామచంద్రాయ వేదసే రఘునాథాయ నాథాయ సీతాయాః పతయే నమః. అయోధ్యకాండ చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 76, దశరథస్ ఫ్యూనరల్. రెసిటేషన్ బిగిన్స్ నౌ. Then Vasishtha, of wise words, addressed himself to Bharata, who was sinking under the repeated strokes of grief, confusion, and weariness of heart, and said, "Prince, whose fame illumines the world, enough of grief. Delay not to conduct the funeral ceremonies that ensure the worlds of light to our Lord and Master." Bharata took heart somewhat, calmed his grief with a strong effort, and busied himself with the preparation for the monarch's funeral. They took the mortal remains of the king of Kosala from the cauldron of oil where it was placed, and placed it on the ground that the liquid may evaporate. His face had a yellowish hue, but his limbs were in a state of excellent preservation, as one in sound sleep. After a time, they transferred it to a costly bed wrought with gold and gems. Bharata sought his father's side and cried, "O mighty king, Shatrughna and I were far away at my uncle's capital. What dire necessity induced you to send away from your kingdom Rama, the very soul of righteousness, and Lakshmana, the prince of heroes, and betake yourself to the home of the gods even before we came back? Was it just or kind of you to abandon your subjects in their darkest hour of trial and sorrow, when Rama was torn away from them? Rama, the giver of good and happiness to all beings. Whom did you count upon to guard these people well and secure them to safety and comfort, when you have sought the skies and Rama has been forced to hide himself in the dark forests? This earth and all it contains is hideous to look at, in widow's weeds, and no more fair to see. This Ayodhya is dark and lustreless without you, even as a moonless night." The holy Vasishtha interrupted him as he lamented grievously and said, "We look to you to pay the last remaining duties to your father and king. Restrain yourself and bend yourself to the task at once." Bharata acquiesced reverently and summoned the priests and chaplains forthwith. The Garhapatya and the other sacrificial fires were duly tended by Dasharatha in the fire chamber, had already been removed outside before the moment of pollution. The priests and their assistants bore them to the cremation ground in order due. Next came the royal attendants, who with streaming eyes and silent grief carried the mortal clay of the emperor on a priceless palanquin. Others walked before them, scattering along the road various colored garments and flowers of gold and silver. Others fed the golden censers with essences of sandal, aloe, pine, and other perfumes. Others raised the pyre with sandal, padmaka, cedar, and other fragrant woods. The royal ladies and the aged retainers around them followed on litters and other conveyances. Then the priests deposited the royal corpse in the center of the pile, and Bharata headed the procession of the wives of Dasharatha as they walked around the mortal remains of their master from right to left and from left to right. Bharata lighted the pile with the Agnihotra fire, tended so reverently by the departed dead, while the priests conducted the solemn funeral rites, the Hota, the Udgata, and the Advaryu, chanting the holy Vedic mantras. Experts in the Samaveda sang melodiously the funeral rituals enjoined during the service. The laments and shrieks that rose from a thousand women's throats like scramming curlews smote the ear far and wide. Then they moved on to the banks of the river Sariu, where the only libations of water were offered to the names of the dead. The prince returned to Ayodhya with the royal ladies, the counselors, and the chaplains, watering the dust with their never-ceasing tears. The royal kinsmen slept on the ground singly during the 10 days of the period of pollution. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunavate Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.